Good afternoon, folks. Thursday afternoon, November 1, All Saints Day. We are digging out, as everyone is, many are still focused on the calamities that we're all suffering with loss of power, damages, particularly along the coastal areas. And our thoughts and prayers go out to all of you. I'm making this call primarily for those who have been able to receive power and have been counting on being updated as per the mailing list, as per the letter that was delivered out to you, hard copy. It will also be available online. So at the moment, given the disaster that we're having in the Northeast, there is no plans by the Obama administration to provide or offer an extension to the Tax Act, which is set to expire at the end of this year. In the past, when there have been crises like this leading up to an income tax return, federal mandates have allowed for an extension of 5 to 10 days, et cetera. But we currently have no insight into this, and given that this is an extension of this would allow more, you know, quote, wealthy people to do more tax planning for themselves, and given that it's 60 days from now when the time would end, our guess is that there will not likely be any relief in moving these assets off your balance sheet. So right now, for sure, the priority is to take care of your family and yourselves and your businesses and your assets that may have been impacted, real estate, et cetera. But we want you to know that we continue to walk lockstep with you. And we're available to answer questions. And as an office, we are out of power, but we are being driven right now by generators so that we can continue to stay focused on this high priority of moving these assets, which will take multiple steps to complete before year end. So that will allow me now to segue into, again, what is it that our focus is. So number one is we're in a very unique, special time right now where we can have the opportunity to give up to $5 million away off of our balance sheet in trust for the benefit of our loved ones. By off our balance sheet, what that means is that when we pass away, hopefully many years from now, the assets that we moved out back in November and December of 2012 will not be included in our estate for estate tax purposes, number one. Number two is that any future growth that would take place after the assets are moved off the balance sheet will also avoid estate tax. Now, in the past, why this is such a special time is because in the past, the Democrats, and it's largely the Democratic Party that drove this, said we want to limit the amount that people can give away to an annual exemption amount of $13,000 a year. Based on the formula that the more that we have in our estate, the more that will be subject to estate tax when we pass away. The exception to that was that you could give away up to $1 million over your entire lifetime, and many of you have already taken advantage of that years ago. And so we'll talk about how that strategy works in a second. But what happened 22 months ago when Obama lost the House was he negotiated with the Republicans alone, and he should have had Democratic support, to extend the Bush tax cut because it was a very tough time for him and he did not want to lose any more political capital. So he extended the Bush tax cut, but the Republicans said, we want you also to change the exemption for the amount that can pass free of tax when you pass away to $5 million. Obama agreed to do that for 2 years as part of the negotiations. But what the Republicans did, and really, in our view, outsmarted President Obama, who is not supposed to know all of the tax intricacies, they said, we also want to be able to give away up to the $5 million exemption. So if people decide to give it away during their lifetime rather than to wait till when they pass away, President, we want that to happen. And President Obama agreed. When he went back to his party and told them that they were in an uproar because they knew that having the exemption be at, for death, be at $5 million, $10 million, $20 million, is only as effective as those people that pass away during that period of time, like when George Steinbrenner passed away 2 years ago and there was no estate tax at all, there was no issue. The problem, as the Democrats knew, was that people were being constrained from giving these assets away when they were alive. So as long as they were living, there wasn't any issue with the estate tax. They couldn't take advantage of it. But under this current plan, the Republicans have now had President Obama agree that people can move up to $5 million off their balance sheet. Well, when Mr. Obama and the Democrats figured this out, they went public, and that would have been January 2011, and said that the Republicans jammed us, that this is another ploy to help the wealthy. And President Obama said, as soon as I have the political capital, I intend to reverse this. Well, he never accumulated enough political capital to reverse it, but this December 31st, by law, this $5 million exemption ends. And so since that time, many of you know, and we have been quoted in the Journal, in the Times, in Forbes, on this topic, talking about this very, very unique period. Some are calling it the golden age of estate planning. So, as you know, the $5 million exemption presents a couple of unique opportunities. Number one is if you move $5 million off out of your estate today for tax purposes, you're also avoiding state estate tax. So for New Jersey, anything over $675 is subject to estate tax. In New York, it's anything over $1 million. In Connecticut, it's anything over $2 million. And, you know, we do work all around the country, but those are the closest ones right now to address. So if you move these assets off of your, out of your estate, you will also avoid the state estate tax, which is a key piece. Only Connecticut limits how much you can move. Connecticut limits it to $2 million. They figured out what had happened with President Obama and soon after passed the law to say that you could only move $2 million. There is a disconnect in New York and New Jersey and many other states in the nation who have not changed their laws and said, you know, and were not able to move quickly enough. And so long story short is, all of these states, including New Jersey and New York, you can move up to $5 million, and then you have avoided the state tax on those as well. So that has been the huge rush. That sets the framework for where we are. But the second key piece here is that people are saying, look, and many of you have said, I'm not about to move $5 million off of my, out of my estate or quote off my balance sheet because my wife and I need them or I need them. And so what strategies are there? And so the typical strategy here is to create a trust where you will leave the assets to your loved one, your children, et cetera, and they will have the use and enjoyment of that, but you'll name your spouse as the primary beneficiary of the assets during your spouse's lifetime. So if you need the money, even though you've gifted it to your, into a trust, then you've named your wife or your husband as a beneficiary, and if you need assets, distributions can be made out to your spouse, and then your spouse can jointly can then move those assets back into a joint account with you and them, so that you'll have access to that money. That is a specific benefit only between husband and wife. There is no one else that that connection can make. So if you are single and you put the money into trust for your loved ones, your access to it is different. Here your access is by being able to borrow from the trust. So you can put the assets in, and to the extent that there is a need for it, you have to have the trustee agree to make a loan to you. You'll, in the way that we build our trust, you'll always have the right to remove the trustee if the trustee is not cooperative. We never want, and for the IRS's purposes as well, does not ever want to see you giving money into a trust and then quickly distributing it to your wife and then integrating it back into your account. They will look at that, and under several code sections, will take that opportunity to say that you've never really intended to give the assets away. The same if you're single and you leave the money in trust and then immediately start to borrow from that trust. You're in a similar position where the service will look at that and say, again, you never intended to give it away. So you must be comfortable with the money that you give away. We're not telling you that you need to wait forever, but we must emphasize that when you give it away, the intention should be, and you should be able to defend, that you do not need those assets themselves. Certainly, over time, you may need the income, but certainly when you give it away now, the key piece is that you'll have other assets that you can live from and derive a standard of living from, and that this would only be getting access to the trust would only be if something unanticipated came along, or at least that you could defend was unanticipated if the IRS looked at it. So these are the key pieces. The second piece that we think is essential here is that by moving a certain block of assets, and maybe it's $2 million, or maybe it's $4 million, or maybe it's $1 million, or maybe it's five, you can move slightly over $5 million. It's the future growth that also provides the greatest benefit here. So we ran a very simple calculation of 4% per annum on a compounding basis. In less than 20 years, so by 2030 or just slightly beyond that, the amount that you put into trust can double. So on a $3 million gift, $6 million will be off your balance sheet or out of your estate for estate tax purposes when it's time for you to leave this earth. That $6 million, if we presume there'll be a 10% tax in the state that you reside in, or a 50% tax on the federal level, that $6 million would be subject to a $3 million plus, $3 plus million tax. And we've sat in our conference rooms with our clients' children and other loved ones, and we see how painful it is to write a check for $3 million or more to the state, to the IRS and to the state that they reside in. So we must look at it not just for the opportunity to get the assets out today, but we must also look at it for the future growth. The second piece that is essential here is that this also presents a very unique opportunity to have an asset protection vehicle in place. So for years, our clients said, I want to put assets into trust that will avoid creditors if there is a reversal in my life. By doing that, there are certain strategies. Some of them are what we call making completed gifts. Others are incomplete gifts. But right now, taking this unique period, we can create a trust and actually make a completed gift, not just to avoid estate tax down the road and gift tax, but also to avoid creditors. And so those of our clients who are in high-risk professions or who find that their loved ones could be at risk by some kind of plaintiff's action, divorces, car accidents, property liability, et cetera, they're also seizing during this unique time to employ the trust. Now, once the money goes into trust, the concern can be, well, what happens if one of my children or one of my loved ones turns out to not be exactly what I'm anticipating, or if they do particularly well, which we hope is more the case, that they don't need these assets, what can I do to fiddle with an irrevocable document? And the answer is you can by virtue of creating a power of appointment inside the trust. And that power allows you or a third party to make a determination that, say, little Johnny is doing particularly well, so we're going to skip Johnny and go to Johnny's children. Or Sally has had a reversal in her life or is going through a divorce or has become disenfranchised with the family, and what we don't want is Sally to inherit her portion of the trust. And so the power of appointment allows us, even with an irrevocable document, to fiddle with the beneficiary. Sometimes we've had clients have said, look, some of you have said, you know, I'm leaving the majority of my assets to charity, but I have a couple of loved ones in the family that I want to benefit, but if they benefit from other family members, then I don't want them to receive any more, so I want it all to go to charity. So there are opportunities for tweaking who the beneficiaries are. So these are the key pieces. What can we anticipate next year's taxes are going to be? Well, there are a couple of issues. First is President Obama has made it clear in his green papers that he plans on changing the exemption amount when you die from $5 million to $3.5 million. So we know that from $5 down to $3.5 million presents a very interesting arbitrage play by moving money out of your name for estate tax purposes. That gap between $3.5 and $5 just without any compounding could save $750,000 of tax on the federal level. Not to mention the state estate tax from from the exemption, which is $675,000, all the way to $5 million. So we could save almost $500,000 in state estate tax. The second piece, though, is that President Obama has said, I am going to reverse the exemption, the gift exemption amount, which is at $5 million, back to $1 million. Based on this piece, as we said nearly 2 years ago when he felt that he got tricked, he hasn't publicly said those words. He said he was pressured, but irrespective of the issue, we know that he wants to bring it back to $1 million. The piece that we're not spending much time on is if Romney becomes president, or even if Obama becomes president, and we have a whole issue where both houses, the Senate and the House of Representatives, it appears that we're going to be in a deadlock next year anyway, where it does not look like there's going to be a change in control in either house. So we have that issue. So whether it's Romney or it's Obama, we know that we're going to have a battle as to where the estate tax and where the gift tax will go. The second issue is that even if if Romney becomes president, we cannot underestimate the value of the fact that even though the conservative Republicans have been very supportive, Mr. Romney was the governor of one of the most liberal states in the nation. And he didn't become governor because he was the most conservative candidate on the docket. So we need to be respectful of the fact that Mitt Romney will have to address the tax issue, which is significant. We have spent the past 5 years, or nearly 5 years, 4 years, trying to bail out of the economic crisis. And with that, we know that there is a mounting amount of debt that will have to be paid back. And this tax and spend program has gone on for 100 years. We even saw it in the Depression when you spend to spark the economy, and once the economy recovers, then you tax to pay off this debt. And we have an unprecedented amount of debt right now that must be addressed going forward as we continue to break out of this recession. So either president will be addressed with that, and either president will be confronted with the disparity in the House and the Senate. Either way, we believe that the most conservative approach to take is to seize the opportunity this year. Now, there are multiple steps that some have to take. It's not just creating the trust and writing a check and putting the assets into the trust. We need to look at the assets that you would consider. If they're in joint names, we have to look at the impact of that transfer. There may be more than one action that needs to be taken. And so in that set of circumstances, we are down to the wire. And I've made it clear to all of you who have done this work with us last year in the first quarter of 2011, and I want to congratulate you for being organized about it, you're done and completed. But those who are hearing this call for the first time or have heard our office, you'll speak about this, we will be closing on December 15th. And we need that time between now and then because we have worked nearly around the clock for the past 20 months preparing for this period of time. And we cannot put ourselves in a position or you where we can undertake to be retained to do work in this tax planning when we are literally at the stroke of midnight. So what we ask is the purpose of this call is to reach us individually to see if there are any final pieces that we need to address for you, if there are any new ideas that you have. As we are in the first few days of November, we still have some time to complete the strategies, but it's important that we speak individually on these pieces. So with that said, I want to thank you for taking the time to listen to this review. We are available to speak with you individually, as we always have been, and we wish you well during this period of recovery following Hurricane Sandy, and we hope to be speaking with you soon. Thank you so much. Bye-bye now.